campus of Texas A&M University. The Sidney and J.L. Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance in the Department of Health and Kinesiology brings you the Sports Medicine Podcast. Our mission is to make sense of and connect the science, practice, and application of the latest findings in sports medicine and human performance to the real world. Here's our host, the director of the Huffines Institute, Dr. Tim Lightfoot.
Well, hello and welcome to the weekly installment of the Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance audio podcast. Every week we bring you the most exciting leaders in sports medicine, worldwide as a matter of fact, to tell you what's going on in a simple, understandable style. And this week is certainly no exception. We are really tremendously pleased and honored to have with us today Jim Whitehead, who is Executive Vice President and the Chief Executive Officer for the American College of Sports Medicine, which is the largest professional society of exercise physiologists and exercise scientists in the country. I think maybe in the world, right, Jim?
It is indeed in regard to sports medicine and exercise science.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the podcast, Jim. Nice to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Thank you. We, in particular, we're so excited to have you because there was a historic event at the United Nations that you played a large role in. And why don't we just start off the podcast talking about that? Tell us what happened at the UN.
Yeah, it was really historic and in the truest sense of the word. The United Nations had a special summit. They called it a high-level meeting that occurred September 19th and 20th, and that is this week when we are talking about having this conversation. And what was unique about it, it was focused on health. There had only been one other summit by the United Nations on health, and that was dealing with HIV and AIDS. And the meeting that was held on September 19th and 20th was devoted to non-communicable diseases, mm-hmm. Which is a fancy way of saying diseases that aren't infectious.
Primarily lifestyle-related kind of diseases.
Very much lifestyle-related, like heart disease, diabetes. These were the four areas, lung disease and cancer.
Mm, okay.
And the reason that was historic, again, just in the entire history of the United Nations, that this had not occurred before except once, is it brings together the world with one particular focus, and that was these sets of non-communicable, non-infectious diseases and really what the world needs to do about them, that there was a realization that not only are these having tremendous impact on health and premature deaths and all that goes with that, but also tremendous economic costs. So it was really those two things together, the profound health impact on countries around the world and also the economic impact on countries around the world that led the United Nations to have this very historic summit.
And we'll come back to the economic impact because it's quite startling here in a few minutes. But in particular, there was a big emphasis on physical inactivity. If I have heard correctly, both the Secretary General and the General Assembly President of the United Nations in their speeches both talked about physical inactivity and the need to get populations moving. Is that correct?
It was indeed, and we were so pleased to hear that, and that did not just happen by accident, as you might imagine.
and you probably didn't have much to do with that at all, did you?
Me and ACSM and lots of colleague organizations.
Yeah.
The American College of Sports Medicine has long recognized that physical inactivity is a health risk.
Right.
And, it's not the fault of anyone, that inadequate levels of activity to maintain health and prevent disease are just there's a whole wide reason for that. The shifting from a agricultural world to one that service-based economies, the technology changes that we all love, but now we're sitting in front of computers and, even if you're wanting to roll down a car window now, you push a button, which is nice, but you begin to think about that, and then just urbanization. So ACSM has this long history of really recognizing and promoting and really trying to get action on physical inactivity as a major public health risk. Well, as this United Nations summit was in its gestation period, we began to really work to ensure that physical inactivity was recognized not only as a national public health risk, but a global public health risk. And, you know, as these United Nations meetings go, as you might imagine, there were hearings and different meetings around the world and a lot of preparation for it. And at one point, there was a real concern that physical inactivity as a global health risk would be deprioritized. And we worked very diligently, again, with lots of other organizations. Success belongs to everybody. To ensure that that wasn't the case, and we were just pleased that when the UN Declaration was unanimously approved on September 19th, that physical inactivity was not only reflected very, very materially in the document that was approved and the campaign that's going to be forthcoming, but as you noted, Tim, in the comments of the Secretary General. And not only the officers of the United Nations, but country after country, after that declaration was approved, talked about the importance of taking action on this, and physical activity and sports, or physical inactivity in regard to a public health risk, mm-hmm. was cited by presidents, heads of state of countries, one after another, just getting ensuring that they made that comment. And we indeed had played a pretty significant role in ensuring that that was the case.
You know, it strikes me, it's fabulous that we now have the attention and the appreciation of the role of physical inactivity in causing so many diseases. I think here in the United States, it's been listed as the second actual leading cause of death and hits the economy for about $607 billion a year. So there's a real cost to physical inactivity. It's great to hear that appreciation, but how do we make people active? I mean, how is this, is it going to help, or how do we help people?
Well, that really is, you know, the question. The things that are cited, and this is what got everybody motivated about this in regard to the United Nations, it's a real tragedy that in a given year in regard to everyone who does die around the world, that 63% of those deaths are traceable right back to those non-communicable diseases.
Mm.
That's massive. That's the world's leading killers. That's, you know, 36 million deaths a year. Just think about that, 36 million deaths a year. With that impact, and then when you match it up with the economic loss, and that's what you really got to look at, because it's loss of productivity, it's loss of all kinds of things that are occurring, and as the world is changing and you get more urbanization and more technology spread and so forth, and all of a sudden these lifestyle issues are really beginning to impact worldwide, that the projection that was given by the World Economic Forum and Harvard Public Health was that if we look in across the next 20 years, the cost of that in U.S. dollars would be $47 trillion,
wow.
dollars, which ends up being like about 75% of the total economic output of the world.
Wow.
And that's just not sustainable, obviously. And so that's what led to what needs to be done. Now, the United Nations, just to indicate, you know, what the process is, that they've called on the World Health Organization. The United Nations created the World Health Organization, or WHO, to develop a game plan for this, to link, I mean, all the countries. And I had the pleasure of being in the United Nations General Assembly Hall when this vote passed unanimously, which then was followed by all these great comments by presidents and heads of state. And I can tell you this, Tim, there's a lot that is going on that is good in countries around the world. But the process of this is that the United Nations is calling on certain things. One is like the whole of government needs to be involved. And what that means in countries around the world, that it can't just be kind of the health sector that's dealing with this, because it has economic impacts and it has all of these sort of things. And if you just look at it being, quote, just health, There won't be enough strength applied to it. It won't move fast enough. It will be missing opportunities and so forth. But that was one. They're talking about the whole of society needs to be involved with this, because, you know, if we want to go out and take a walk, and yet there aren't sidewalks readily available, there aren't just things that make it convenient for us to experience physical activity, you know, that's just not that individual's choice. That's the community having an impact on that person's ability. So they want, they are recommending, and obviously this is part of the strategy that is very plentiful around the world, you know, make it health-promoting environments. Make it easy for people to be active. And it's those kinds of things. They identified a certain number of themes that they want to see the World Health Organization develop and then come back with a plan of action next year. And then what the United Nations is going to do is monitor and measure that to ensure that we're making adequate progress.
Now, are schools included in this? I know one of the problems we've had in the United States is that so many schools had dropped physical education from the curriculum, and kids just weren't getting an opportunity to be active. Is that going to be reflected in some of these documents, some of these plans?
Yeah, it very well will. That will be one of the strategies that are there. You know, one of the more innovative things that has come up in regard to schools, both in the U.S. and in different places around the world, is really looking for ways of how do you integrate, you know, activity with learning. And so, you know, you could have a geography lesson going on, and yet you still try to make students engage in activity. They don't have to just sit there in sedentary fashion, and it can still learn things. There's another theme that is there in regard to the use of technology to engage and make it fun and entertaining, and yet still allow the teachers to have just all the time that they need to prepare and work with the students on the academic coursework.
Right. Well, that's really exciting, and I didn't realize the numbers were so huge on a worldwide basis, $47 trillion.
Yes.
And we talk about the economic problems we have, and how many could we solve if we were just healthy?
Precisely. And it's not only a standpoint of what we could do with the money, but you know, the projection is over the next two decades that the cost is going to rise to that $47 trillion, and that just isn't sustainable at all. There were a number of comments by United Nations representatives who were saying like this, that this is a slow-motion catastrophe that is coming for us. You know, it was someone made an analogy about a movie where, you know, science fiction, where a meteor is coming to the Earth and doing rapidly, and all of a sudden everybody gets ready, and the whole world unites to try to either blow it up or send rockets to veer it and that sort of thing.
Sounds like it could be a good movie, Jim.
That, I think they've probably made a few like that. But this movie, in regard to non-communicable diseases, kind of just taking the same thing. It's like, okay, you see the meteor up there, but it's moving slowly. Let's not really do anything. So the whole movie would be about inaction, and then all of a sudden you look up one day and the meteor is right at you, and there is no way that you can even do anything. And so it just leads to catastrophe. That was the idea of we have to move now because this may be a slow-moving catastrophe, but not that far in the future, a catastrophe it will be indeed if we don't take steps right now.
Yeah. Some of the documents that I saw that came out of this summit linked these non-communicable diseases to poverty and the continuing cycle of poverty in some areas of the country. Can you, I guess, elaborate on that? That was kind of an interesting tie for me.
Yeah. The concern is for, as you get countries that are, you know, they're all going through different stages of development, but as they become more urban, as they, you know, are beginning to go through a development cycle of technology and that sort of thing, what happens is you're beginning to see these lifestyle issues arise, and then that it has the toll on the family. Somebody comes down with a disease, and what it does is a lot of these countries, because there was a special emphasis in the United Nations, are really focusing, they categorize countries by economic stage of development. In the low-income to middle-income countries, it's where you're really seeing a disproportionate rise in non-communicable diseases. And so the income that people make in those countries is not as robust as you might find in other parts of the world. So when one or more in a family comes down with these diseases, all of a sudden, you know, they immediately, quickly go below poverty level, mm-hmm. because all of a sudden you have eliminated one or more income earners in the family or otherwise having to experience a lot of expense. And so this whole thing about so many different impacts, all of them adverse,
right.
negative,
right.
Occurring, but particularly in these low to middle income countries where you're seeing a disproportionate prevalence of these non-communicable diseases, and it just has a profound impact on just the family level as well as the system level.
And I think we could make the same argument that the same thing's happening in the United States, especially in regards to type 2 diabetes and some of the populations that is, let's call it, preferentially hitting.
Yes, absolutely. You see a lot, I mean, while there are differences in countries around the world, there certainly are a lot of commonalities.
Yeah. So it's. I think for the common United States citizen, it's easy to look at this and go, well, that's all the way around the globe. That doesn't affect us. But I think that all these patterns are affecting us as well. I think we have to realize that.
They definitely are. The patterns are affecting us. And quite frankly, if you look at projections of diabetes increase for the United States and the toll of cardiovascular disease, all of these non-communicable diseases, the U.S. cannot generate enough money to cover the treatment of what is going to be this massive increase
mm-hmm.
in more and more illness within the U.S. The secret answer is, in so many cases, it's preventable.
Right.
You can avoid it. It's not that anybody is choosing to have this, but because, as we said, the whole variety of circumstances around lives these days in the 21st century tend to kind of push out opportunities for physical activity.
Right.
And so you have to make a determined effort, but it is hitting the U.S. profoundly and in an unaffordable way. We have to prevent these diseases, not figure out how to pay for them.
With the reference a while ago to the slow-moving disaster, I almost get the impression that some of us in the field are like canaries in the coal mine. We are hollering about this catastrophe that's coming, and sometimes it doesn't seem like people are listening.
Yeah, and that's what really made the United Nations summit on this, and their unanimous and enthusiastic support in approving it is just a breakthrough.
Yeah.
There will be things that will be occurring, and you know, this isn't all the government has the answers on this, because ACSM, for instance, has been doing, as I mentioned earlier, lots of things to ensure that physical inactivity, physical activity in sports was included in the declaration. It was a focus, and it is. It is in everybody's comments and everything that is going on and all the documents coming out and in the declaration itself. But even prior to the start of the summit, we held a special UN pre-conference
mm-hmm.
that was focused exclusively on non-communicable diseases and physical activity. And so we started planning that in about a three-week time period, and you don't really put on any kind of major meeting in such a accelerated time frame like that. There was huge interest in that from UN delegates and from we had ministers of health from around the world. The U.S. Surgeon General was there. There was corporate. There was not-for-profit medical scientific. It was amazing the number of experts that were coming to this to find out more, and that was our strategy for the pre-conference, to do just that, to put that kind of underscoring of this. And the thing about that I discovered is a powerful strategy. Is that, you know, as we have talked about this, that these non-communicable diseases and physical inactivity as a risk factor, et cetera, it is very important from a health standpoint. We even had a person there who had been previously type 2 diabetic and was having to be on constant oxygen support and having lots of problems, began to engage in a physical activity program and really eliminated all of those problems.
Mm.
It was a remarkable story. I mean, and
a powerful message, yeah.
A powerful message, and we very intently wanted someone there that could show that human face and really the outcomes of this, because clearly the tragedies are there in regard to premature death and people going through all of these just terrible experiences and families of doing that. But the point is that that's one impact. That is one reason for us to act together to do something. But we also mentioned there's an economic impact
right.
to this as well. also. And we furthermore looked at it from the standpoint of, you know, like if people were walking more and bicycling more and that sort of thing, all of a sudden that has an impact on climate and fuel use and that sort of thing. So there's kind of a climate change aspect to it. And then also there was a social justice thing. It's some countries around the world still, there are great restrictions on women and girls participating in sports or physical activity. So we are presenting physical activity in all these many dimensions, all of them which are relevant and all of which are meaningful, but to make it have absolutely the most powerful effect and attention getting for ministers and others around the world. So it's that whole idea of physical activity, looking at it in so many different dimensions.
Right. This is, I think this is a great example where a professional body of individuals, people that are interested in a specific area, can really influence public policy. The American College of Sports Medicine, in this case, with you at its leadership, has been working very diligently over the last 15 years to do that. Can you tell the audience, I think, some of the things that ACSM has work to codify and to move along to help increase physical activity?
Yeah, we have a range of things that we do. We focus on things like, you know, these technical documents that are produced. We produced with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention really a seminal document that got this point across, that you don't have to be an athlete, you don't have to change your life. Really, if you just increase levels physical activity in your everyday life, going about things, there will be health benefits from that.
Right.
And that was a powerful document that influenced so many more after that. We also have been involved in the development of national physical activity guidelines. We also have been very involved and still are with a national plan, which is for physical activity and health, which is really looking at just what everything is going on within this country and how do we make it more supportive of physical activity to improve health. And so anyway, we have a whole variety of things, both from the scientific, medical side, the public side, and so forth. And every day, I assure you, this organization and its very dedicated thought-leading members are hard at work at helping to make this country and this world more active and healthier.
Well, and I think I certainly appreciate that, because I think so many people nowadays don't think they can affect the world or affect their country individually. But getting involved in a professional organization like the American College of Sports Medicine that has an active public policy role really can change what's happening worldwide.
It certainly can, and the way I approach things is, you know, there can be a game changer, a world changer, in any organization, in any community. All it takes is one, many
right.
times, to really be that. And beyond that, any individual that in the audience for this can be their own game changer. It is very easy to do in regard to the guidelines or suggestions to do things to improve health. You know, it can be just make sure you're getting some level of physical activity, you know, 150 minutes a week,
right.
you know, 30 minutes a day if that's easier.
Right.
Do 10,000 steps,
right.
you know, if you have a pedometer. Or even simpler, you know, just go for a walk, you know, take the stairs every now and then. If you're going into a parking lot, don't always try to see exactly how close you can get
right.
to the door of that, but park a little further away. It is so easy to really, if you're conscious about it and understand the power, both from the standpoint of health improvement and disease prevention, but also from an economic standpoint of avoiding all of that, you can be a world changer with the simplest of steps in everyday life.
Right. And you know, if you don't want to shoot for the world, change your local community. Talk to the school board. Get involved with local politics in this area.
Absolutely. And, you know, all of that together, the thing that was really powerfully recognized is that, you know, if you are changing your own situation, if you are changing a school, improving a school, or as you indicated, in your own community, you know what? All of those changes in communities around the world really are going to change the world. So that's what I look. I look at the connectivity of all this together, and there is no step too small in regard to this action that we're going to take together.
Now, the staff here has come up with a question. I think it's related to the same thing. You evidently gave a talk at the pre-conference event at the United Nations on best buys and physical activity. What are the best buys in physical activity?
Yeah, we had a whole array of what the best buys in physical activity are, and it was actually a panel that I had the pleasure of moderating. And what we had is a whole series of individuals from schools, from work sites, from the use of technology, and these were not only in the U.S. but from around the world that were really showing what works, what's a great return on investment, what has the proven capability to, in a very effective way, really increase levels of physical activity. And it was across the spectrum. It was, you know, in healthcare. As I said, it was also in churches, in faith-based promotion of physical activity and healthy lifestyle. So those are the kinds of things that we were looking at. What are the proven kind of ways where there's a lot of great evidence, a lot of great results to show that it's not a cost, it's actually an investment and a savings.
Are these seminars, conferences that were just held over the last several days, are they going to be available in written form or video form at some point that you know?
They're actually going to be in both. We did video it. We're going to edit it down. It was, when we had this in the Millennium UN Plaza Hotel, which is right across from the United Nations, and I started out thinking it was going to be a very small meeting, and then we had to get a larger room and a larger room and a larger room to accommodate everybody.
That's a good problem to have.
That's a good problem to have because it showed so much interest by people. But what I decided to do, and it goes to your point, is I wanted to make sure that we got video of some of this great stuff. And we're going to be, it's in the process of being edited now, and we're going to make that available. And we're also looking at doing a written report from this because it's not only what is going on, but we asked the group to make recommendations. And as you imagine, this was a very thoughtful and experienced and well-informed group about what should be done. And there were a lot of things, like ACSM has an initiative called Exercise as Medicine. It's about really making healthcare providers at least a little more mindful of talking with patients about the importance of physical activity and how to get started.
Right.
And we've launched that as a global health initiative. We have regional centers or around the world, and that was very impressive. It's very successful. That's one of those things that we're wanting to make sure that we continue to grow. There were other things that were mentioned, such as they became thematic, about innovation and, you know, really identifying, like these best buys, really identifying things that are very effective and creative, and let's look at ways to do that. There was a focus on cities, and there was a focus on, you know, how do you really provide information to not only professionals but the public that would allow them to take steps. So we had a whole array of recommendations that were made and that were going to be, so it's not only a capturing of, you know, what are some of the great things that are going on or the call to action that should be occurring, but we're really now working, as we are speaking at this moment, on pulling from that and developing strategies that ACSM will be advancing, and that also we'll be working with other organizations to do. I mean, the meeting that we held, as you know and your listeners should know, that ACSM is a very collaborative organization, and partnerships was one of the important themes that the United Nations underscored. We partner with lots of organizations. We partnered for this meeting, thought it up, started organizing it, and then reached out for partners. And they ranged from the World Bank to the President's Council to CDC, WHO, Collaborating Center for Physical Activity and Health, and a vast array of organizations. So we are now in the process, just at this point, days after the UN vote, to also have the non-governmental sector doing lots of things, because we're not going to wait. There's no need to until the end of next year, which is the deadline for WHO, the World Health Organization, to issue a set of recommendations, we know that action is needed now, like that movie analogy I was making. That meteor is coming. It may be slow right now, but we need to take action now, and so we're doing that as well.
The canary in the coal mine is singing loudly.
There you go. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, we are starting to run short on time, and I think we've only scratched the surface on this. If you have a take-home message for the people listening, what would that take-home message be?
It would be to ensure that we're just a little mindful about how our environment and technology these days and so forth tends to really get us out of our game plan of what was intended for the human body and for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we do need to be adequately physically active, I'll put it that way. We do need to be mindful of just our nutrition habits and that sort of thing. We need to combine those. I think we more and more people are recognizing, obviously, the difficulty and dangers of tobacco, and that we need to try to stay away from that, or if we're currently still using tobacco, to really try to get away from that. And then another global public health risk that was identified was really the harmful consumption of alcohol, and where it's to excess, not to anything else but that. But from the American College of Sports Medicine's message, it would be just incorporate physical activity into your everyday life, because in doing so, you're really building health in you, and you're preventing, taking steps that can prevent diseases, and then, as we've discussed on this call, prove not only U.S. economy, but world economy, and protect our world overall.
There you go. If you want to improve the economy, be active.
There you go.
I think that's a bumper sticker for us, Jim.
I think so.
Well, Jim, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And I want to thank everyone that's been listening for taking the time to download us. And before we get away here, Justin, do you have a question of the week?
How many deaths per year are associated with physical inactivity?
Great question. If you have the correct answer, email us at huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu. That address is on the website, by the way. Email us with the correct response, and you will win a Huffines Podcast T-shirt. We'd encourage you to do that as soon as possible, because those go pretty quick every week. Once again, thank you, Jim, for being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And I want to thank again all of you that have taken the time to download us and taken your time to spend with us. We certainly appreciate that. And we hope until next week when we talk to you again that you have an active and healthy week.
The Sports Medicine Podcast is produced by Justin Dobson and licensed by the Huffines Institute at Texas A&M under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. You can share it as much as you want, and you can talk or blog about it all you want. Just don't change it or charge money for it. This podcast is made possible by support from the Omar Smith family and the Sydney and J.L. Huffines family. Our music was composed, performed, and graciously provided by Dave Zeltner Productions, your source for quality music and music production since 1992. Find them at www.davidzeltner.com. Our opening and closing credits were provided by John Miles Productions at johnmilesproductions.com. If you have questions or comments, please send them to huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu. From all of us at the Huffines Institute, we hope you have an active and healthy week.